This episode is sponsored by Kendo UI. Kendo UI allows you to build better apps faster. They have a comprehensive library ranging from data grids and charts to buttons and sliders. Plus, you can use their components as plain JavaScript as well as in Angular, React, and Vue. They have a large collection of customizable popular themes like Bootstrap and Material. Go check them out at javascriptjabber.com/KendoUI.
Hey everybody, welcome to Views on Vue. I'm Chris Fritz, and unfortunately I'm a little bit sick today, so I apologize for my voice, and if at some times I don't make sense because I'm also experiencing some very mild hallucinations. Today on our panel, we have Divya Sasidharan, who's a dev advocate at Netlify and also a contributor to Vue.
Hello.
We have Joe Eames, who's organized the Framework Summit, also educator extraordinaire of all things technology.
Hello.
And Eric Henchett, who's also an educator, has a YouTube channel, and author of Vue.js in Action.
Hey, Chris.
And today, our guest is Guillaume Chow, fellow core team member on Vue. And today, we're here to talk to him about Vue CLI 3, and especially the UI that he's been working on for a while, and of which I've gotten some sneak peeks of, and like even more new features that at the time of recording, like almost no one knows about, which is really exciting. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about from Guillaume. So Guillaume, would you mind introducing yourself a little bit beyond like what I've said? Is there anything else that people should know?
Yeah, I'm also working for a startup in Paris, remotely. And we are also working with Vue, which is awesome.
Yeah, you're calling in today from Lyon, France, right?
I'm calling from Lyon, where I live, in France.
It's kind of late there right now, isn't it?
It's 9 p.m.
Almost time for dinner then, right?
Yeah, I just like prepared the dish for this eve, and it's cooking.
Nice.
So Guillaume, for people who may not be familiar with like Vue CLI 3 or 2 or any previous versions, how would you describe it for people?
So Vue CLI has been the standard tool to create Vue projects with the most like recommended libraries and tools like Babel and Webpack. Previously, you could also use Browserify, but it's way less powerful, so we decided to drop it. That was mainly a scaffolding tool, which allowed to generate projects, have a full configuration ready to be used right away.
So basically, for people who didn't want to have to become experts in their development environment, they could get set up with like a really nice development environment and not have to worry about like how everything ties together. You know, we could hook that up for them and help them get set up with a really good configuration for most Vue applications. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, that's a lot of work already done for you regarding configuration and setting up those different tools so that you can like start writing your app as fast as possible.
Great. And Vue CLI 3 was recently released. How is it different from Vue CLI 2?
So that's different because, it's a complete rewrite first, so it's like a different tool entirely compared to Vue CLI 2. And it also is working very differently with an entire new plugin-based system, which is different from the previous template-based one. So this plugin system is very powerful and allows you to precisely choose what you want to use while creating your app. For example, you can select TypeScript or an end-to-end testing solution right from the start, but it also allows you to add new features after the fact. So if you, after creating your app and like writing code for some time, and you're like, oh, I forgot to add a unit testing solution, for example, and I'm feeling the need to have one, you can very easily add for example, the Jest plugin to add Jest into your project, and everything is like automatically set up for you. So it allows you to like maybe do less choices at the beginning and then add more features later. And it also makes the life easier for the developer, which isn't like trying to combine multiple user light templates into what it needs. For example, previously you had like a TypeScript template and PWA template or maybe some SSR template or something else, but you couldn't like easily combine those. And with plugins, you can just add them to your project and they will like play nicely together.
Yeah, and to combine templates, you often need a pretty good understanding of the tools that they're using, right? Like you have to, if you're combining like multiple Webpack configurations, you know, you have to have a really good understanding of Webpack oftentimes, which yeah. I'd say most people don't. And most people shouldn't have to have.
Yeah, regarding Webpack, the new thing is a plugin can modify on the fly the Webpack configuration when you start either the Webpack development server or a Webpack build. It can like modify on the configuration for you. So let's say you have the TypeScript plugin and the PWA plugin. Both can like change the configuration and the hood for you. So you don't have like to mess around with it. And it's using Webpack chain, so it's a very flexible system that allows public plugin to interact with the configuration without like conflicting with each other.
Yeah. So with the template system, I know there was one issue where, you know, people would create their project and then they'd kind of be on their own to maintain it forever. Like as new versions of Webpack came out, and if it's a successful project, like hopefully new versions of Webpack will come out, you know, it'll last several years at least.
Yeah.
And new versions of Babel will come out and a bunch of other libraries, and they'll have to manage the dependencies of all of these, you know, so there may be, you know, some plugins that only work with like this version of Node, this version of Babel, and this version of Webpack. And it can be really frustrating to figure out how it all works together. Is that something that Vue CLI 3 can take care of for you, or is that something users still have to think about?
Yeah, that's also a big difference between the old Vue CLI 2 and the new Vue CLI 3. Basically, the previous Vue CLI was ejecting you right from the start, and you didn't have a choice, so you were ejected, which means basically Vue CLI was no longer responsible for anything in your project. You were on your own, so which means also you had to take care of updating the configuration if there was any changes in the template you used manually. You had to do that manually. And if a new version of Webpack, for example, was released, you had to change the whole configuration yourself to make it compatible. And the new thing with Vue CLI 3, which like solves this issue, is the plugin system again. Because the plugin are doing the dirty work for you under the hood. So we can, for example, upgrade Webpack to Webpack 5, for example, and we can like make sure each plugin is working correctly and make sure the configuration is up to date compared to the changes of Webpack 5. And in the end, the developer using Vue CLI 3 will only need to upgrade these plugins, and if he made some changes in the configuration to customize, maybe we have some work to do, but it will be like much less than with the template system.
Let me stop you there for a second. I'm sorry to interrupt, but how do you upgrade plugins?
Plugins are just like NPM packages, so you just need to upgrade those using NPM or your own. And we are maybe thinking of, maybe in the future, there will be an API for plugins to be able to manipulate files, but it's very touchy because if you are updating plugins, most of the time, it will be on a code base which lived for quite some time already, so there is a high chance that your code will be highly customized unmodified. So we are thinking about it, but it's not like a priority. But we may do some kind of like easy to use view upgrade command to use npm and hello to create the plugins for you, but well, not too much at first.
So you just have to upgrade your plugins, and as long as your plugins are all the same version, they're guaranteed to be compatible with another?
Yeah, that's the case for the official ones. And you can also upgrade the third-party plugins because you can also install third-party plugins from the community. And they are like any other NPM package, so maybe you should like first read the release notes of this plugin before upgrading to know what's going to change. For example, from the Apollo plugin, I tried to configure as things as much as possible inside the plugin so that I can easily change it internally and expose a simpler configuration API, for example, which won't change and will be stable, and then you just have to upgrade the plugin, which happened when I upgraded it from Apollo Server 1 to Apollo Server 2. You barely had to make any change in your plugin.
That's great. And Divya, you recently at Vue.js London gave a talk on creating like third-party Vue CLI plugins, right?
Yeah, that's a really great segue. I was actually going to chime in into just like we talked a little bit about plugins as a way of updating our Webpack config, but I think Guillaume might have talked a little bit about this, but there are different ways for you to use plugins to configure and customize your project that doesn't just involve your Webpack config. So for example, I'm going to like not talk about my stuff before I talk about my stuff, but so for example, if there's some testing libraries out there where you can essentially set up, like using a Vue CLI plugin, you can set up a way to create tests. So it creates a test folder for you and like various other things. And so plugins allow you to also like generate files and folders or structure your project in a specific way. Like if you wanted to add Vue X modules, or I think I mentioned tests. The one that I talked about at Vue.js London was specific to using serverless functions with Netlify. And because there's a specific way of organizing your project, you essentially have to create your function and then add it into a Lambda folder. And then you can build and serve it for local development of serve. Because most of the time, like when you build a serverless function, you want to check that it works before you actually deploy it. And so Netlify Lambda there's like a CLI for it, a command line. And so I talked a little bit about how I built a Vue CLI plugin that hooks into that CLI, that separate CLI service. And yeah, so it allows you to configure your project to use a specific paradigm or add files and so on. High level, but yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So you can really like any kind of pattern in your application that you might want to use across a bunch of different applications.
Yeah.
You can wrap that in a plugin.
Exactly. Yeah. So the idea is that you can replicate patterns and logic that you use across multiple applications. And just instead of repeating yourself, you can wrap that in a plugin, publish it on NPM, and then just like use it in your projects, which are really handy. And then, yeah.
Just for like your HTTP access patterns?
I believe you could if you wanted to. Like if you really wanted to create like a service layer plugin or something, you could easily do that.
Or GraphQL?
Yeah, I think Guillaume created like an Apollo GraphQL plugin.
Yeah, you can install it and it can generate a few files in your project, and then you have Apollo GraphQL server running alongside the Vue app. So you can have a kind of like a full stack GraphQL app.
It's cool.
Nice. So is there anything that like third-party plugins don't have access to that like the official plugins do? Is there anything you can't do in a third-party plugin?
As simple as that. I don't think there's something you can't do.
Nice. So they really do, like, Vue CLI grants you the full power. So you could create like your own custom set of plugins if you wanted, if there was like something really, really hyper specific and weird that you wanted to do with the Vue application.
Yeah. We are using Webpack a lot in USLI. So if you want to use another bundler, it will be maybe a bit more difficult to do. But yeah, that's the only one thing I see.
I was going to say that it's also like, it's also possible for you to hook into current commands that are available via Vue CLI. And so if you want to, like, Vue CLI service has build and serve. Yes. And so if you really wanted to, you can grab those commands and then add on your own, like, things that you want to run using the default commands. And so if you wanted to build a specific, a extra file in addition to whatever Vue does when it runs build, you can do that. And so you have access to like the build and serve service commands within Vue CLI service. So yeah, you don't have to always, because the idea when you create a Vue CLI service or a custom Vue CLI service is you're creating a custom command. So what that means is when you run like Vue CLI service thing, like the thing is your custom command.
And when you say a custom command, do you mean like, you know, is this something that you'd run in like a package.json script or something like that?
Yeah, you could do that. You could run it in a package.json. So if you open up the package.json in a newly created Vue project, like if you create a project with Vue CLI 3, you would get a package.json that shows you two commands in the script part of it, the script portion, which is just building and serving your project. And so if you created a custom plugin, you could create another script which runs your plugin if you have a custom command associated with it.
Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Like deploy or something like that.
Yeah, like deploy or I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, there are plugins with such deploy commands. So one for S3.
Cool.
I think it's the other thing that I found when I was working on Vue CLI plugins that I guess we can talk about is like testing them and how do you... So we talked a little bit about creating those plugins, but do you have strategies on how exactly you go about testing your plugins?
Yeah, I do. I usually create a test project using Vue CLI 3. And then the easiest way I found is to add the plugin in the dependencies in package.json file with the file path. So you start with file, semicolon, and then path, relative path or absolute path to the plugin you want to test. And then this allows you to have a very clean way so that things work correctly because when I tried to do symlinking and stuff like that, wasn't working well. So then you can use, for example, Yarn with the force argument to update the content of the plugin in the test project. And then you can use Vue invoke to test the installation. And you can use Git to like have states of the test project, so you can revert and try again. And also then you can use any Vue CLI service command to try to run custom commands or to see if the Webpack configuration is configured the right way using the serve or build commands. That's the way I'm doing it right now. But I'm also planning to work on something which is unannounced, which will allow to make the whole process way easier and have automated testing and stuff like that.
Nice.
Cool. So this is sort of like end-to-end test, you know, for a CLI tool.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It will be both about the CLI and the UI, and you'll get like some tools to make it easier to test it automatically on kind of like not really like an end-to-end testing solution, but definitely a testing solution.
Is there documentation for all this, how to do the testing and how to create a plugin? Is that part of the official doc somewhere?
Currently, you can find documentation about creating plugins, but testing them is not really that documented, I think. So that would be some area where we can improve the docs. And as I said, I'm planning to do something about that.
I think currently the way that I've done tests is similar to like the way Guillaume was doing it, which is add it to an example, like a test project as a local dependency, and then trying to make sure that it works, and then forcing the update because the symlink doesn't always follow it whenever you make updates to your plugin. And the other way that I've done it is also Vue CLI. It's undocumented at the moment, but there's a way for you to test your CLI plugin from within the plugin itself. And so you can run Jest on your plugin to check certain things. And Vue CLI service has test utils available. I think it's like Vue CLI service test utils, something like that, or Vue CLI test utils. And it gives you helper utilities that you can use to then create like a test environment for you to run your plugin or your service with. And so one of them that I use a lot is there's a create test project .js file in the helper utils, which scaffolds a new Vue project for you and gives you access to like the Vue instance. And then you can use that to invoke your plugin. And then you can just use Jest assertions to make sure that like a file is in a specific location that it needs to be, or that your Webpack config has been updated as it should have, and so on. So that's like one way that you can also do it that I've done, which works quite well. So I think both are, it's like depending on what you prefer, but yeah.
I don't use some of those to like package them in nicer and easier. You can test so the UI.
Speaking of the UI, that's something I'd really love to talk about, because this is something that seems pretty unique to me. I don't know if I've seen this before, like a CLI tool that has a UI built along with it. And this might sound like really strange to a lot of people. It's like, wait, it's a command line interface with a user. It's a graphical user interface. Like, how does that work? And why would you need it? Like, what are the advantages, and why did you decide to build a UI for Vue CLI?
Yeah, so I start with the why. So the first thing is that the new Vue CLI is way more powerful, but also as a greater API surface and is more flexible, so you can choose more different options. So, for example, when you create a project, you can select a lot of different things. And when you created a project with Vue CLI 2, you basically had to like name the project, and you had a few different simple options to choose from. But now it's basically a whole very flexible system with plugins and stuff like that. So I thought it would be nice to free ourselves from the terminal, which is kind of limited with the output because it's a terminal. So the best way to do that for me was creating a graphical user interface using Vue, obviously. But the main advantage of having a full user interface is that you can add more information and explanations to what's going on, and you can also create better user interface. For example, when you create a project in Vue CLI, since you have to make a lot of choices, there's a prompt system which allows you to like toggle options and stuff like that. But using a graphical user interface, you can, for example, have real selects and switches and stuff like that. Also, it greatly improves discoverability. For example, when you create a project, we can directly show you a form with like all the important options displayed. For example, you can disable the Git repository initialization, which is an argument using the command line. So you have to search for it in the documentation or on the website, documentation on the web. And you can also search for things. Creating a search interface in the terminal is, I think, a very difficult task. So in the graphical user interface, you can have search fields with search results, and you can search basically for plugins or dependencies or stuff like that.
So if you don't even know what plugins are available, like the official ones and the third-party ones, you could do a search in the UI and just like type in the name of something you're trying to work with, like GraphQL.
Yeah.
And then your plugin would show up in the list, and then they'd be able to click on it, and it would just be added to their project.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. That's way nicer than having to, you know, go to like the NPM website and then searching for Vue CLI, GraphQL, and then like looking at the README to see like how you're supposed to add it, and then going back to the terminal.
Yeah.
I like it.
The biggest advantage, I think, of user interface.
I think also it's really nice for, I've used it extensively for when I want to name my plugins. I want to see like what hasn't been taken already. So if I'm like, oh, I'm creating this Vuex thing for like, because I have a specific way of organizing my Vuex namespace modules. And then I use the, I don't think that's what it's for, but I've used it just to be like, oh, what other Vuex plugins are out there? And like what names have already been taken and which one can I make for myself? So yeah, super useful.
Also, I think sometimes CLI is kind of like a barrier to entry for some people. So maybe beginners will be like more comfortable using a graphical user interface while creating their first projects using CLI. So I think that also helps approachability of the frameworks, the framework for everyone.
The feature that's also super nice is the ability to run tasks from the UI. So like particularly whenever I run tests, I like using the UI because it notifies me if the tests pass or fail. Because sometimes I'll like run the test and then I'll go do something else. Because some tests take a lot longer. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to run it and then go away. And if it's within the CLI, there are times where I've actually forgotten that I ran tests. And then like I've run it more than once just because I completely forgot that I had already run it and didn't check the log. And so the UI's like notification feature is like, it seems so small, but it's such a nice feature. I like that.
Awesome. So it sounds like it offers like a nicer way to view a lot of things, and it offers a sort of streamlined process for a lot of things. One of the other advantages that I found is, for example, we have a configuration for the linting rules that are specific to Vue. And so you can pick with ESLint plugin Vue, you know, the exact rule set that you want to use. And you can pick the options for the different rules. And normally when you're looking at a configuration file, if you're looking at like an ESLint RC, for example, you don't know like what rule sets are available. You don't know what rules are available. You don't know what options for each rule are available. You know, so all of this, you have to go and look up in documentation. And when the options are right there, you can do oftentimes in minutes what might take, you know, an hour or more to figure out, like looking through documentation otherwise, which is so, so helpful. And you can also see like descriptions of what each rule does. You know, there's so much we can do in a UI that would be, as Guillaume said, like really difficult to show in a terminal interface. And also like for people who aren't familiar with a terminal.
You also get links to the documentation. For example, for each ESLint rule, you have a link beside next to the description of the rule. You have a link that directly gets you to the documentation for this specific rule. So you don't have like to search for it on the internet.
Nice.
Is your job search stuck? Maybe you're not getting any interviews with employers, or maybe you are, but no job offers. Or you may be new and not even know where to start. This is Charles Max Wood, and I'm releasing a new course and ebook on how to find a job as a software developer. The course walks you through the process of finding the types of companies you want to work for, getting their attention, and putting your best foot forward as the candidate they want. I've coached dozens of developers in looking for jobs and have been able to help several people find jobs within 2 weeks to 2 months. So whether you're new to development, can't find a great job that fits what you want, or are looking for remote work from an area without a strong tech community, I can help. Go to getacoderjob.com and sign up today.
In the user interface, for people to see this, they have to do something, right? Like how do they open the user interface to begin with? Do they still need a terminal? Do they still need to know how to open the terminal and install like Vue CLI from the terminal?
Yeah, so we saw a bit of why there's a UI and how it works. Basically, it's a very simple Express server using Node.js, also using Apollo server for having a GraphQL API to send messages to the web page, which is then opened when you want to use the UI. So the main way to use it is by running the Vue UI command after installing the Vue CLI, which can also be, for example, set up to run automatically when you open your session. And it will start the Node.js server, which is like very lightweight. And I've found that using it for like a few days without rebooting was using less than 100 megabytes of memory. So it's very lightweight. And it will open a web page in your default browser. But if you don't run it with like other arguments, and in your browser you get the page with the whole graphical user interface for Vue CLI. I chose to do it this way because, if I went with Electron, Vue CLI users would have to download hundreds of megabytes of libraries just to have Electron, which we found wasn't like worth it. And it still allows to do that kind of stuff. You can basically wrap this UI thing of Vue CLI into an Electron app, which was done by Iblis already. And in the future, we could also, for example, integrate it in VS Code, for example, by just like running the UI server and having the UI client open in a web view inside the VS Code.
Oh, that'd be cool. A Vitor integration would be really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. The usage is very basic and simple because it can like be used in a lot of different ways. And you could, after we merge a few pairs, you'll be able to, for example, running on the server, on the network, and then opening from another computer. And I think,
but right now, people still need a little bit of terminal knowledge, right?
Yeah. Another example is that if is working to have the Vue CLI UI in Code Sandbox, so it will run the Vue CLI UI server on Code Sandbox containers, and you get the whole graphical interface right in the Code Sandbox.
Cool. So people need a little bit of terminal knowledge to begin with. They need to install Vue CLI, the Vue CLI NPM package, and then they need to run Vue UI. And then from there, they can do anything that they could do from the terminal that like related to that project inside the UI.
Well, yeah, but not related to that project because you can manage several projects from the UI. You're not like limited to one project.
Really? Yeah, that's true. And you can create projects, yeah.
You can create projects, you can import existing projects, you can even import existing non-Vue CLI projects. For example, I'm using the Vue CLI UI to develop the DevTools, which isn't a Vue CLI free project at all. So yeah, you can manage projects like using the UI.
Wow, that's cool.
And did we talk about the launch date?
For Vue CLI 3?
Yeah.
It's launched.
Yeah.
So is this like this feature, the Vue UI, it's already active?
Yep. Yep, it's already out. You can use it today.
So maybe cool. You wanted to talk a bit about what I showed in London.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that, if you're willing to talk about it.
Yeah, so for the Vue.js London conference, I demoed for the first time in public next big feature regarding UCLI UI, which is the project dashboard, which will be the home page when you open, create or open an existing project in the Vue.js UI. And that's basically a whiteboard when you can put widgets on it to have like status or do things. So there will be a bunch of built-in widgets in it. Like, for example, you'll have widgets to show you the available updates for your plugins or dependencies in the project. There will also be a vulnerability scanning widget, which will check for known vulnerabilities depending on the installed dependencies in, for example, package lock or yarn lock. And it will be like right here in your in the homepage, so you can miss it. You'll also have, for example, a network port killer, which will be useful when sometimes a process like isn't terminated correctly and the network port is like not free, and you can very easily kill the port you need. There will also be a task shortcut widget, which will allow you to launch a batch of tasks directly from the home screen. And also a news widget, which will by default load the RSS feed from news.vue.js.org with the podcast, the official podcast, to be able to listen to that. And you will also be able to change the URL so you can have any news you want on the homepage.
Nice. So we could create a widget for this podcast too.
Yeah. And you don't need to actually, because the built-in news widget can do that already. You just need to provide an RSS URL and you're good.
Nice.
And you can, with widgets, you can like move them, you can resize them, you can remove and add more. And the best thing is all of this stuff is using a public API, which is the register widget API, which isn't like released yet, but you will be able to use this API to provide widgets to the user so they can add them to their dashboards. And all the built-in widgets I just talked about are using nothing else than this. So you can create those using the public API and you can basically do anything you want. Because a widget is using the client add-on API, which is already public and already exists, which allows you to load third-party view components into the UI. So you can basically create a view component, which is your widget view. Then you can like create in your plugin, register it, and then use the other already existing APIs like shared data or actions to do stuff. So you can basically do anything from with your widgets.
Wow. And if people want to like get started with Vue CLI, or they want to see, you know, the kinds of like the dashboard that you are demoing at Vue.js London, how can they see all this stuff?
For now, they have to like go to the GitHub and then clone the branch, the dashboard branch, and then follow the development instructions to get Vue CLI free running locally in development mode.
And was your talk recorded?
Yeah.
Nice. So that'll be available soon on the Vue London website?
Yeah.
And excellent.
There are a few things I still need to like finish working on before releasing that, but I think maybe part of the 3.1 release for Vue CLI.
Woohoo, that sounds exciting.
Are you planning on giving this talk at other events or like a webinar or something anytime soon?
Maybe not anytime soon, but I think I'll talk about that in Connect Tech in 3 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm. By the time that this comes out, it'll probably have already happened.
Likely. Maybe, yeah. Oh, that's a shame. But it would. I think Connect Tech is also recorded, so we'll have multiple.
I mean, maybe it will be released already. So we never know.
Is there a? Do you have a date that you intend to release it, or you hope to release it by? Okay.
No, it's when it's ready.
Okay, exciting.
And if people want to find out more about you and your work, maybe they want to support your work. Is there any way that they can find you or support you and, you know, help you make more time to do the awesome work that you do?
Yeah, they definitely can. So I got, you can check out the GitHub profile, which is Akryum, AKRYUM.
And we'll drop that in the show notes.
Yeah, and you can also support my work, my open source work on Patreon, on my Patreon page. You can also support my work by contributing to the repositories or on submitting issues, trying or helping with that. Yes. It's much appreciated as well.
Can they follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, same as GitHub, it's Akryum.
Excellent. We'll drop all of those links in the show notes. And I believe you also have one Patreon level where you give out adorable cat pictures as well.
Yeah, because I got a cute cat.
It's a very cute cat. Then we'll move on to the next portion of the podcast, which is picks.
Do you run your own freelance business? Or maybe you're thinking about picking up some business on the side. Well, then you need FreshBooks. FreshBooks is the quickest and easiest way to get invoices out to your clients. It's easy to use. It works anywhere, available from any device, on the desktop, iPhone, iPad, Android, and all of your data is backed up and secure. And it makes it really easy to get organized and get paid. You'll be tracking time, logging expenses, and invoicing your clients in no time. You can also save time billing, freeing up several days per month to focus on the work that you love, and you get paid faster. FreshBooks customers are paid on average 5 days faster because there's a link on the invoice that says pay me now. And it's a great way to grow your business. Plus, FreshBooks is offering a 30-day trial. That's right, 30-day trial if you try them out. So go to gofreshbooks.com/devchat and enter devchat in the how did you hear about us section. Once again, for a 30-day trial, go to gofreshbooks.com/devchat and enter devchat in the how did you hear about us section.
Joe, would you like to go first with your picks?
I would love to. First off, I want to pick a learning resource for Vue. Pluralsight has a published course by Jim Cooper, Vue Fundamentals. It's about 5 hours long. Great course. So if you're looking for a place to learn Vue, that is one of the many great resources that is out there on the internet, but I would definitely recommend that one. And also, I want to pick as well a blog post that I recently read called The Developer Bait and Switch. Really interesting blog post about the environment that we're living in with JavaScript. The author sort of compares JavaScript to the greenhouse gas CO2 and how as the internet becomes more widespread, it's moving on to cheaper devices, and yet we're building with bigger and bigger pieces of JavaScript. And there's actually this dissonance that's going on, and it's a really well thought out article and very thought provoking. So I highly recommend you read it, Developer Experience, Dev Experience Bait and Switch, and we'll put a link to the show notes as well.
Excellent. Thank you. And Divya, do you have any picks for us today?
I do. So there's a tool that I just started using for doing screen captures or creating GIFs of videos of whatever you're doing on your screen. And it's called, I guess it's called GetCap or Cap with a K. It's getcap.co. And it's really cool because you can take screen caps of recordings of your screen. And then you can also optimize the size of it. And you can export it to GIF, MP4, WebM, and various other formats. And it's open source, which I think is really cool. And so that's my first pick. And then my second pick is, I have a couple, but I'm going to bunch them all together. There's a couple of really good articles on Vue.js plugins. I wrote one, so I will plug that. It's on the Netlify blog on creating. I talked a little bit about the process to creating a Vue.js plugin specifically for Netlify, which is a talk I gave at Vue.js London. But there's a lot of really great ones. I think Snipcart did one on getting started with Vue.js plugins. I'll put the link in the show notes as well. And it's just really nice to have an example and a case study to draw from, especially if you're just starting, because looking at the source code and reading the docs sometimes your eyes can glaze over because you don't exactly understand what's happening. And so when you have a direct case study to work from, it really helps. And so those two articles do a really, like, well, I hate to like plug myself, but yeah, it goes in depth into like what a plugin is, how a plugin is architected, and the use cases for building a plugin.
I think it's totally cool to plug yourself as long as you're producing things that are useful to people.
Yeah. Hopefully it's useful.
Yeah. I mean, if it was like totally unrelated to Vue, that'd be one thing, but my picks are, I have two picks. One is meditation. I find it really useful to, you know, do like 10 to 20 minutes of mindfulness meditation, oftentimes only once per day, but sometimes more per day, especially if I'm traveling and I have a lot going on and I need to take more opportunities to sort of center myself so my brain isn't so scattered. And there are probably a lot of people who are listening to this who have thought like, yeah, I've tried to get into meditation, but, you know, it's just, I don't know, I don't really want to make like time for it. And even if it's like 10 minutes, you know, those 10 minutes can be like agonizing at the beginning when you don't feel like you're like getting anything done. And, you know, you just want to do some work. And at the end, maybe you don't even feel like really re-energized or refreshed. So for people who are feeling like that, there are a couple different techniques that I've heard from other people that they found really useful. And one of those things is to just start with maybe 30 seconds of meditation. And then increase it by maybe 10 seconds every day. And that can make it easier to get into. And another one that I really like is maybe just starting with 3 breaths. And this makes it something that like you can count so you know when you're going to be done rather than 30 seconds where you're just like waiting for an alarm to go off to tell you when you're done. So you can start with 3 breaths, just like take in 3, like deep breath in, deep breath out, 3 times, and then you're done. And there's been research, I don't think I can drop it in the show notes because I just like heard about it on a radio show or something. But there's apparently like research that shows that even that will help you be more mindful, stay more focused, decrease blood pressure or something. I don't know, who knows? Maybe also increase your midichlorian count so you'll be able to use the force better. Probably all sorts of things.
I'm in.
My other pick is just gratefulness. This is sort of something that goes along with meditation. Sometimes along with just general like mindfulness meditation where I'm paying attention to my breath or maybe just sounds around me. I also sometimes, as part of meditation or something completely separate from it, just think about some things that I'm grateful for, especially when, you know, I may be feeling depressed or there are things that are in your life that you can't control that are bringing you down. Just thinking about some things that you're grateful for. They can be as simple as like people in your life that make your life better. It can be your health or, you know, whatever pieces of your health that you have. You know, I don't think, especially at a certain age, like no one's completely healthy. We all have stuff with our bodies going on, but, you know, we can at least, you know, do some things that we can be grateful for. And you can be grateful for simple pleasures like, you know, drinking cool water on a hot day. Things like that. And these are some things that make me happier. And I think there's also some, if I remember correctly, I think there's also some good research that shows that this can make you happier on a day-to-day basis. And those are my 2 picks for today. Guillaume, how about you? What are your picks?
I had 2 things about stuff while you were speaking because...
Good, I tried to buy you some time.
Yeah, so that's... Yeah, I was going to say my first thing, pick would be doing exercise because for quite some time I've been working remotely, and which means like not working a lot to go to my job. So a few weeks, I started like going biking maybe one day over two, and trying to increase that frequency to every day, and also like doing a lot of effort and not like choosing an easy path or stuff like that. So to exercise as much as possible in a very short time and do that like almost every day, which is very effective at getting focused back after a day of work, and also fighting some fatigue, because sometimes after working on thinking the whole day, you are kind of like tired. And I sometimes feel the need to like take a nap or fell asleep in my bed. But instead, like going outside and biking is kind of counteract that. And it's
kind of re-energizing.
Yeah, it's strange, because initially you're thinking that like sport is going to like drain energy and you know, make your muscle tired and stuff like that. But actually, it's kind of the opposite when you do it like not like for hours, but maybe just a short amount of time every day, and it's like getting energy back, especially when you're not moving a lot during the day.
Yeah, and along those lines, I have one app that I'd like to recommend. If people could check out 30 Day Fitness, I think it's a free, at least on Android. I don't know if it's on iOS, and it gives you some like 30 days of a little bit of exercise that you can do completely from home. You don't need a gym or anything. You don't need special equipment. And it can help you feel a little bit better, help your body feel a little bit better.
Yeah, because when you use your brain like the whole day, every day, you can feel very tired in the evening. So yeah, some exercise is very good for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I second biking. Like I work from home too. And every time I like, after a full day of working from home and I go outside and ride my bike, I get very happy.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
Something I appreciate about the 30 Day Fitness is it's a lot of calisthenics, which is really nice when you're traveling. you can't take a bike out or anything. And sometimes it's difficult to even go out for a run because you're worried you'll get lost or something. or maybe like you don't know, like you don't want to like pack like running shoes and things like that. So this you can even do from a hotel room, like before you go out. Do you have another pick, Yao? You don't have to.
Yeah. I could recommend the Quantum Break, which I finished recently.
Yeah, you also recommended The Expanse to me.
On The Expanse.
The Expanse on Amazon Prime, if people want to watch it, which is a very nice sci-fi show.
Go on for hours recommending stuff, but...
Yeah. Great. Well, then, I think that's it for today for Views on View. Looking forward to seeing everybody next week. And in the meantime, enjoy the view.
Bandwidth for this segment is provided by CacheFly, the world's fastest CDN. Deliver your content fast with CacheFly. Visit CacheFly.com to learn more.